Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll have Charles Robinson coming up from 8 to 8.30 for our weekly visit with him. So looking forward to that. Right now, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So Joe Rex Road, you were in Columbus, Ohio for the pro day that Ohio State put on last week. And obviously, we talked about it. Lots of intriguing people out there at the pro day for Ohio State, whether that's C.J. Stroud or Paris Johnson Jr. or maybe some people with one eyeball to next year looking around and say, ooh, look, Marvin Harrison Jr. over there. He looks pretty good out there. Pretty interesting stuff at Ohio State pro day. Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel there as well, obviously. And you come out with a piece from Columbus on The Athletic entitled Rand Carthon and Titans at Ohio State, the intel, the analytics, and Deputy Mayor Vrabel. This is on The Athletic. .com. So let's just, there's a lot to get into with this piece. Just generally, what were some of your takeaways from your time in Columbus as the Titans were visiting Ohio State at the Pro Day up there?
Well, first of all, it was a good choice, you know, by me, because of course there was no way that the Vols would still be playing hoops. So be a great week to go up to Columbus and do a
worked out well
trip. So I had to, you know, secretly be in Columbus last week. When I was on the show, you said I was in New York. We lied to the listeners.
We did.
I wasn't in New York. I was in Columbus.
I didn't even know.
Really?
Yeah.
Top secret.
Yes.
Come on, guys.
I'm sorry. You know, just kind of, I honestly didn't, I would have been fine with you knowing. So I did the round trip Columbus to New York. That was one of the worst flights I've ever taken, by the way. Coming back from New York to Columbus in like wind gusts. I mean, it was like the woman next to our, like, it was two of us. She had the barf bag out.
Yeah.
And coming down in that plane. And I tell you what, man. I mean, I kept looking. I'm like, oh, boy.
This could be bad.
It was very close. So, anyway, the idea being basically pick a pro day to try to follow Rand Carthon around and talk to him about it. And, you know, just try to get inside. It's really not as much about the Ohio State aspect of it as it is just trying to just see how they do things at pro day and just how Rand Carthon thinks about things, you know, trying to get some insight on, you know, what he does. So there's a lot to it because there were prospects there who matter to the Titans. And, you know, Deputy Mayor Vrabel, you know, social butterfly, talking to everybody. Everybody loves Vrabel.
Maybe some conversations with the Ohio State Athletic Director. Who knows?
Well, let me tell you something. So, you know, some of my buddies who cover Ohio State, we all very much enjoyed it. He's sitting there for about, I don't know if it was 10 minutes, but it was maybe 7-8 minutes, just him and Gene Smith, the Ohio State AD. It's like, okay, so I'm gonna need two cars, okay? And then remember, I need all those private plane hours now, Gene.
You see that guy over there? He wrote about this one time, and neither one of us won a game since. Let's go get him.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, it's like Ryan Day's in there somewhere like, stop talking to him, Gene. As I pointed out, you know, let's Gene Smith did used to employ Mike Vrabel.
He did, yes.
And also, if I'm Gene Smith as an AD, I am always going to be super nice to my alums
who are
super rich, whether they're the head coach or not. Coming up, who are very rich and could help me with donations. It was, first of all, a terrible event for media because they actually, like, draw a little line in this corner and make you cram in there. I've never seen anything like it. I've done pro days before. You can usually walk around the field. Yeah. But there were 118 NFL reps, which I've never seen before either, at one pro day. Titans had seven people. They had scouts. They had Tim Kelly and their new O-line coach hotailing. They had and Chad Brinker. Mm-hmm. And Chad Brinker is a really interesting part of this story, too. I'd say – beyond the pro day, I think some of the most interesting stuff here was talking to Rand Carthon about analytics and about what they're going to do. I mean, one, probably the biggest takeaway I would have is just, like, the Titans are going to be very different in that way. And I know Vrabel, you know, got a little huffy about the analytics question after the season.
Yep.
But, look, the fact is the Titans have not had as fleshed out an analytics department as most other teams in the league. You know, there was the ESPN story, which is a good idea by ESPN back near the end of the season, which was talking to analytics staffers around the league. You know, basically just speaking to them about which teams use it more. And I think Cleveland pretty famously at this point is the most analytics-driven team in the NFL.
Yep.
Now, you could say, you know, right now that's not going great for them, but they've had some success. They've built rosters pretty well. The Titans, it's interesting because the Titans in that poll, for anybody who missed that story, the team the least analytically inclined, this is according to people who do analytics in the league. The Titans, number one, or number 32, however right. you want to look at it. They are the least, according to them. And then the Washington Commanders were next worst. You don't want to be in any kind of category with them. But it's also kind of interesting, too, because I think there's 10 coaches in the league with NFL experience. But, like, Vrabel, you know, and
Rivera.
Thank you.
Yep.
Ron Rivera. Like, they're not just former players. Like, they are, like, former players, oh, yeah. right? Like they are
deep
like
in there.
Football guys. So I think there's, I think what's going to happen here, moving forward, is a good injection of analytics just to have more information. Doesn't mean that because look, part of this survey, it's a really fascinating survey, is like how much in-game decision making goes to the analytics people. And this is where, look, I mean, I would side more with a Rivera, I would assume, which is like, you know what? You're still playing a football game. Let's not turn this into baseball. Today's opening day. You know what they do in baseball? Like, seriously, you've got, like, analytics to tell you what each pitch to throw.
Exactly.
Play the game.
Right.
Play the game. Use your instinct. Look at the guy. Think, you know what? I'm going to throw the heater right now. It's way too much. So I think it can be. And frankly, I don't really want my head coach just leaning too heavily on that stuff. I really don't. I think it's good to have the information. And obviously, it's changed the way. I mean, Doug Peterson and the Eagles, they changed the way people coach in this league with that run and that Super Bowl championship. Like, go with the percentages. Be more aggressive. It's good.
Yep.
I like that. Anyway, I think with the Titans moving forward, they're going to have a more fleshed out analytics department. They're going to lean on it more, and possibly that could help them when it comes to personnel. And Chad Brinker has his own models. He brings them from your Packers. He's not done with them apparently, which is interesting. So I don't know how much they helped the Packers.
Yeah.
You know, but
LaFleur would screw it up anyway. But yeah.
Might be a big loss. So that conversation about that stuff was probably my biggest takeaway is just, you know, sort of the way it's like so many different aspects of trying to find players.
Yeah.
You know, the measurables, of course, you know, the game film, obviously that's still the most important, but also like they're going to have, and some of what Brinker has is injury related. Which is interesting.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah, I think you can't have too much of that information, especially if you're the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, no question. Look, I think traditionally in football, like when I've thought about analytics, I've thought about like basically what's come to mind to me is like, oh, it's the Butch Jones chart. Like that's what we're doing here and what he wants to do with his chart. And look, there are some in-game decisions. You brought it up. Like we've seen, I think, and I have to go back and find the exact number. I had it a couple months ago. But we've seen a pretty dramatic increase in the last 3-4 years of teams going for it on fourth down. Like it's become, okay, well, probabilities here. Like if it was 4th-and-2 or shorter, you could pretty much tank it to the bank that not only are the Philadelphia Eagles going for it, but they're running a quarterback sneak and they're having their quarterback that could squat 900 pounds get low and have the running back coming back and pushing them in. They're going for it every time.
And like, everybody knows it's coming.
And they can't stop it. Like we've seen analytics change it in the NFL that way. The roster building part of it to me is really interesting because that is where I guess fans, myself, we don't think about that part of it as much when you start thinking about analytics. But I mean, take a look around other sports, whether it's, you know, Moneyball and baseball, hockey, people have analytics departments that help them build their roster that way. Like that part of it in football is really interesting. And I do wonder, like, if you're Vrabel and you're Carthon and you're trying to put a roster together, how much are analytics going to be weighed in that as they move forward as two guys who did play the game in the NFL?
Yeah. Yeah, no question. It's a lot. There's a lot of different aspects. And I mean, look at their additions. This has nothing to do with analytics, right? The free agent additions, it has a lot to do with these are good dudes that I know, and I know they'll be good in this locker room. Plus, right. You know, they're players who have been on really good rosters who haven't really had the chance, and now they're going to come here at a nice price and be good players. So, I mean, that's what that is. But, yeah, the all the different aspects of that are going to be interesting. And, of course, there's another component of that, which we've talked about here, but that I don't know exactly what they're going to do, but it could really be a difference maker for them down the line.
Yep, and we'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Make sure you check out Nashville's Best Deal of the Week from Hot Works in Gillettsville. They're open 24/7 in their infrared virtually led sauna classes. Choose from Hot Cycle, Hot Blast, Hot Thunder, Hot Yoga, Hot Bar, and more. Right now you can join for just $39 in time for their grand opening coming up on April the 1st. That's $60 off at thegamenashville.com/deals. Get more workout in less time at Hot Works. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Souls for Souls coming up on June the 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. You can sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got some tickets to give away to see Janet Jackson coming up at Bridgestone Arena on May the 4th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Janet Jackson coming up at Bridgestone Arena on May 4th, 615-737-1025. We are discussing a piece from our very own Joe Rexroad at theathletic.com, which was written live from Pro Day in Columbus, Ohio, as he was around the Titans, Rand Carthon, and Mike Vrabel. We've talked about the analytics part of this, including something that you're not sure as to whether or not the Titans are going to employ this strategy moving forward, but the analytics part of this, a really interesting part of the discussion for the Titans as they move forward here.
Yeah, and another big part of this that the Titans going in this draft that they've never done before, that they will do now for the first time, is they will have the services of S2 Cognition. We've talked about S2, written about them a few times previously. You know, these guys are Vanderbilt brain doctors, Vanderbilt brain professors. How do I properly say it? These, you know, the guys who were Vanderbilt professors started this company, and of course, I mean, that's their entire life has been working with the brain. They decided to put this together, and so you have a much stronger way of sort of really. They are careful to say they don't want it to be predictive. They just want to basically show. Now, you know, some people look at things like this, take the S2 information, put it into their own models, and try to be predictive about players. But essentially, there are a lot of things that your brain processing things that have a lot to do with sports, what they do. One thing that they do, it really is, I think, predictive when it comes to hitters. Like their tests can really give you an idea of why someone's a good hitter or not and if they'll be a good hitter or not. But S2, the Titans have been with them for a few months now, so this will be the first draft that they'll go through with them, and that is, look, it's an important part of it. It's not more important than playing the game, being having the right size and speed and all that stuff, but it can separate players for sure if you have these processing skills, these high level processing skills, and that's what their tests do. So that's another piece of the pie, for the Titans. And now it's two teams per division who partner with S2. So it's been the Colts, and now it's the Colts and the Titans. So that's another part of it that's, worth mentioning as something that could help them moving forward.
I thought another interesting part of your piece, I mean, obviously we kind of joked about it, but, you know, Vrabel, his popularity at Ohio State, the deputy mayor, I think is what Carthon referred to him as, but like going to an Ohio State pro day with Vrabel being there, or when Florida's pro day comes around and Rand Carthon is there, like the, I guess the advantage that that could give the Titans in terms of having conversations with people that maybe other teams just don't have access to because they don't know these people as well as a Carthon at Florida or a Vrabel at Ohio State would know them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so a little bit. I mean, Vrabel, you know, I mean, the strength coach there is a big part of this. I mean, the strength, you know, strength coach at all these schools are always very heavily involved in pro day. So they're all available to all these coaches and GMs and everything like that, but yeah, you would think that Vrabel would get a little extra intel. Obviously, they drafted Nicholas Petit-Frere from Ohio State last year. And there's, you know, two guys who were on the field last week who are of obvious interest. One is Paris Johnson Jr., who I'm just sitting here watching O-line drills. But I got to say, he looks pretty good, man. Yes. Yeah, looks pretty good. He could certainly be their pick at 11. And Jackson Smith and Jigba answered a lot of questions, too, about – because obviously he had the hamstring, serious hamstring that kept him out of, you know, basically most of last season. But for him to run about a 4.48, yeah. Some people had him like a 4.52, right in that range. But that's
– reminds me of myself.
Yeah.
Bulleting speed.
A couple years ago.
Unbelievable, yeah. A couple years ago. Once I turned 30, it went down to maybe 4.5.
Yeah, I was going to say, like mid-4.5s. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's too bad. He is an astounding route runner, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Now, he's basically a slot receiver, so yeah. The Titans do have a slot receiver.
Well, they do. But he's played like a game and a half.
A minute. But yes. Yeah. But – I'd be surprised if he went like that high. I think that's a reach, but who knows? I mean, the Titans could also move down, move up from the second, whatever. I mean, he's someone that you have to keep in mind. I think he could potentially be the best receiver in this draft.
What if we know that it can't happen this year? Obviously, it will happen next year, where Marvin Harrison Jr. is in the draft. If he was eligible this year, where do you think he'd go?
He'd be the top non-quarterback picked. Yeah, that's everybody walked away from Ohio State Pro Day saying there's a clear best player on the field, and it was
incredible.
Sophomore in college. But he's that good. He's going to, like, next year he's going to – yeah, I know. There was a lot of talk over there like, this guy should have won the Blitnikoff. Like, well, you know, I think Jalen Hyatt's a pretty good winner this year. Yeah, Marvin Harrison will win it next year. Don't worry. And, no, he's unbelievable. That's the thing, too. Like, C.J. Stroud's out there looking good, throwing good balls, but it's nice to be able to throw to, like, Jackson Smith and Jigba and Marvin Harrison
for sure.
Jr. and so on. But, no, he will be – yeah, I mean, he would be this year, like, whoever doesn't – the first team that doesn't need a quarterback. I mean, I guess it's possible, like, a team needs, you know, Will Anderson or more, but very good chance he's the top non-quarterback pick next year.
Officer Watson from Clarksville says, I saw a mock draft yesterday that had Hyatt falling to us in the second round with a fingers crossed emoji. This is from Officer Watson from Clarksville on the text line. I mean, if he's there at 41, I would consider it if I were the Titans.
Yeah.
Now, Tannenbaum thinks he's going 25 overall in the first round.
Tannenbaum's got all the Vols going.
He loves him some Vols for sure.
There's a lot of Vols love.
There is. I mean, there's a lot of Vols love. Lewis Riddick yesterday said Darnell Wright may be the best player in the draft, said he's going to be a pro bowler, maybe an all-pro in his first year in the league. That's what Lewis Riddick tweeted yesterday.
My
like,
goodness.
Geez. All right.
My goodness.
I mean, look, Darnell Wright was really good last year. And like you said, made himself a lot of money in that Alabama game. But I was like, really, best player in the draft? Darnell Wright? Okay.
Yeah. Hey, it's take look, season.
Lewis Riddick knows more than me.
I trust Lewis Riddick. Yeah. Hey, real quick, I just want to make sure to get the information correct. It's Brandon Allie and Scott Wiley are the two Vanderbilt professors. One worked with patients with Parkinson's, one with Alzheimer's. So yeah, they studied the brain their entire lives, and they decided to turn into this business, which is the S2 score. If you got an S2 score like Joe Burrow's got, kind of tells you a little something. Bryce Young, Another guy. Good S2 score. Let's see what he does in the NFL. I bet you it's pretty
good. I wonder
good.
What ours would be.
I took these tests. And it actually makes I took all their tests when I wrote about these guys a couple years ago. And it actually made me feel better about my failed athletic career. It totally explains things. I was awful.
That was the reason. Just that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's also lack of athleticism. But when I took these tests, I was like, okay, now I kind of get it a little bit more. Right. Yeah. No, they're really hard. Yeah. I bet you we could probably get you guys in there and take these tests.
Hey, let's do it.
It's fun. It's sobering. It's humbling for sure.
John in Thompson Station says, do any players decide not to take the S2 test? It seems like it could really help someone like Anthony Richardson's draft stock if he scored high. I saw where he's visiting the Titans sometime soon. This is from John in Thompson Station.
Good question. I've not heard of it being declined, because obviously one people have gone – it's a totally different thing, but the Wonderlic is one of those things that have been
–
usually what it is if someone scores terribly, then it leaks out, But this is not that. That's that's almost like an IQ test. It's weird questions and stuff.
There was so much conversation around here about the Wonderlic test when Vince Young was around here. It's like, goodness gracious.
Right. Yeah. And again, that's just so much less directly relevant to the field. But this stuff is, I think it can and will, hurt players who don't score as well. These guys gave me an example. They didn't give me names, but two safeties. I know we got to go to break, but two safeties, one of which had way better measurables than the other, but the S2 testing was way off the charts for one, and it was not good for the one who, by all measures of traditional football, should be way better player than this other guy.
Yeah.
The other guy is, a Pro Bowl-level player because the S2 test told you, the processing of information is so – and that's safety is one of those positions where – safety and quarterback are probably the top two positions of where it really matters and can translate.
Yep. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on the NFL draft and your thoughts on that coming up next, including some hot taking on the quarterbacks going on and continuing yesterday that I saw. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Join 102.5 The Game and the Preds Energy Team at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs tonight for the Preds Road Watch Party as the Preds take on the Pittsburgh Penguins. You can stop by and enjoy Brewhouse South 70 beers on tap, classic American menu, along with Cajun Southwestern Island Comfort Food. That's 102.5 The Game and the Preds Energy Team at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Looking forward to that tonight as the Predators take on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Also, make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are referred to so often. And Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 8 o'clock. Right now, taking your thoughts on the NFL and the Titans, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Joe, you sent us something yesterday from Chad Forbes, which is at NFL Draft Bites on Twitter, says, and this was his tweet yesterday, Will Levis is bombing interviews. Arrogance, entitlement, plus just bizarre was a quote that somebody told him. 24 years old, should be far ahead of guys that are graduated from high school in the pandemic 25 months ago. Stroud, Richardson. Why didn't he beat out Sean Clifford? Levis could go day two. We've seen whether it's going day two or not. One consistent thing that I have seen lately is whether it's a Kuiper mock draft or it's really anybody other than Tannenbaum's mock draft that had him at number four. He is sliding. And we talked about a CBS Sports mock draft that came out earlier this week that had Levis all the way down at 18 with the Rams trading up to go get him at that point. So, look, mock drafts are not the end-all, be-all. We know that. We know that they're not written in stone or anything. But when one guy consistently starts sliding around the board, I do put some stock into that because that tells me that there's been some conversations that these people have had that don't really lend itself well to Will Levis being drafted in the top five anymore. So the Levis sliding and all these mock drafts is pretty interesting to me that way, and it tells me that at least to some degree there have been some conversations that would suggest that teams may not be all that high on Will Levis right now.
Yeah, some of this stuff you have to be careful because there is misinformation, and there's 100%. You know, one team might be like, "Oh man, I can't stand that guy." I mean,
up until the week before the draft last year, there were some reports out there that Malik Willis could go number two. So,
right, yeah, there's both ways. There's misinformation. This does seem like there's more than one team that hasn't been impressed with him. So. Now, all it takes is one team to say, "I don't care what you guys think. We had a great interview with him, and he's our quarterback at number four or whatever."
Right.
But I think this has gotten to the point where you don't just ignore it. Like, he must not be helping himself, which is crazy to me. Like, you know, that like it's hard to – like you to me, you're like, you really have to screw it up, you know, in these situations. But, I mean, hey. You know, teams also are picking at every little thing about these players. Obviously,
maybe it's just the mayo.
About it. Well, it could be. I mean, I would have a little bit of a problem with someone.
Really?
Who
put that in your coffee.
Yeah, when you sent that yesterday, I just thought it was like really weird. Just because I know a lot of people who cover the team, and that's never been
a thing.
Which usually, you know, like if you cover that beat, you get to know them in the locker room, press conferences, and things like that. But yeah, I was like kind of shocked when you sent that.
Yeah, like the thing about Clifford, that's dumb to me. Like, that's going way back to Penn State, and Clifford's, you know, was entrenched. Clifford's good college quarterback. I mean, just Will Levis is just more talented, more directly translates to the NFL. But that one doesn't matter too much. And why isn't he headed in age? Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fine. I mean, I guess that's fair. I also think that last year it was – tough for him given the offensive line situation there. So, but yeah, it's surprising to hear about this stuff. I mean, I covered a quarterback who was very, very, there was a lot of questions about that with him coming out, and it wasn't too much around like the team, but it ended up being something that really hurt him in the draft. So it does happen.
John on the text line says he probably ate an unpeeled banana while drinking mayo coffee in front of the interviewer. Maybe that was it. He's like, "Oh, man, we can't do this." It's a lot. It's a lot to unpack.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely, like, if I was conducting an interview of the team, I would definitely be asking about that.
Like, what's with the mayo and the coffee, like, man?
What's wrong with you? And then see how he reacted to that. Maybe he didn't react well.
Cody on the text line says, "I would love for the Titans to get Anthony Richardson at number 11. Let go of Malik Willis. Allow Anthony Richardson to have a year behind Tannehill. The talent that Richardson has is generational." This from Cody on the text line.
Well, Mike Tannenbaum says that's exactly what they're going to do. Look, man.
If he's there, I mean, I would think about it.
It's if they believe that he is going to be that guy, do it. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know that he won't be. I'd be afraid. I'm afraid of players who like don't consistently perform at the level below this, but it doesn't mean that they can't turn into really good players. And by the way, the Titans, according to Jordan Schultz, has not just the pro day, but of course we just talked about, you know, Rand Carthon,
mm-hmm.
as he told me in that piece. You know, I know a couple people down in Gainesville, you know, got a little intel, so a little extra insight maybe for him and a Florida player such as Anthony Richardson. But he has visits with the following teams after the pro day in Gainesville: Panthers, Colts, Titans, Falcons, Ravens, Raiders.
Yep.
Pretty interesting.
The Ravens is interesting there.
Yeah, well, they may be looking around here.
It may be. By the way, Tennessee's pro day today as well. So the Vols pro day taking place today.
According to Karski, Vrabel at Vrabel in Knoxville. And, of course, Rand will be
down there in Florida.
Yeah. So we'll see
if
everybody loves Vrabel over in Knoxville as much as they did last week in Columbus.
Maybe Vrabel like falls in love with like – is Lewis Riddick going to be at Tennessee's pro day today? He's like, "Oh, Darnell Wright, baby." Maybe so. Look, Darnell Wright has, in all seriousness, of like all the Vols out there, he's done really well for himself in the last couple of months. He's going to be a pretty high first-round pick.
Yeah. Well, it's a big loss for them, by the way. And remember, Darnell Wright was the left tackle there because, you know, it's like, yeah, your most talented player making a left tackle. Well, he's a right tackle. And he's an NFL right tackle. And I think a lot of people who are all over him probably are just watching the Alabama game, which, yeah, again, was kind of stunning to just see Will Anderson look like some average player out there for an entire football game.
By the way, take another free agent wide receiver off the board as for options for the Tennessee Titans. Marvin Jones Jr., who was with Jacksonville, going back home to the Detroit Lions. Wow. A one-year, $3 million contract that can be worth up to $5 million. But the active offseason continues for the Detroit Lions. Marvin Jones returning to Detroit on a one-year deal.
Thank you. That's going to make all the difference for the Lions. All the difference. Marvin Jones in this stage. He was a good player for them previously. And for the Jags, I'm sure they're like, Marvin, thank you. Calvin, come on in.
You're putting some haterade out there, man. The Lions have had a great offseason. They're the betting favorite. We talked about this the other day. The betting favorite to win the NFC North. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's going to be funny. It's going to be funny. Again, what happened this year, everybody picked him to go to the playoffs. Not everybody, but some people.
They were right there. They were close.
But they didn't get there, did they?
They did not.
They celebrated keeping the Packers out. That's what the Lions are.
Well, that is a celebration.
Okay. But I mean, like, if that's the best thing that you have to celebrate, like, what are you? You know? So next year, they're going to go like 8-9. They're going to be a huge disappointment. It's going to be hilarious.
You want to hear something that is going to make you laugh immediately? Let's the FanDuel Sportsbook odds for the NFC Championship winner. Number one, the San Francisco 49ers at plus 350.
Okay.
They're tied with Philadelphia. So San Francisco and Philadelphia tied at 350. Dallas at plus 650. At number four, the Detroit Lions at plus 900. Fourth best odds in the NFC to win the NFC Championship.
If that doesn't tell you the AFC, and like the AFC is the SEC, and the NFC is like Conference USA.
Mountain West.
Pac-12. I mean,
yeah, well.
Overrated.
I mean, wow.
By the way, New Orleans at number five with Derek Carr coming in. Number five to win the NFC Championship. It's pretty amazing.
I don't even know what to say. With the Lions fourth. Oh.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. We will do that coming up next. Make sure you join 1025 The Game and the Preds Energy Team at the Rusty Nail in Hermitage on Monday, April the 3rd for the Preds Road Watch Party as the Preds take on the Dallas Stars. You can enjoy $3 two-lane beer drafts, a great local atmosphere with a large outdoor patio and volleyball courts. Plus, try some of their great food, especially the wings. That's the 1025 The Game and the Preds Energy Team at Rusty Nail coming up on Monday, April 3rd. We will see you there. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
Another thing, stop playing us, man. We the Detroit Lions. We the Detroit Lions. Stop playing with us. I don't even watch TV, but I heard everybody already picked the Packers over us. Stop playing with us. That's all I gotta say, man. Don't let these tears fool you. It's all dog around this mug. I'm good.
Former.
That was Lions great Jamal Williams after the takedown of the Packers. Now, Jamal Williams, unfortunately, has moved on, and now he's with the New Orleans Saints. So, Lions don't have any of that energy left around there, but they are the number four team with the odds to win the NFC title. So, how about that?
And seriously, that's a huge loss. Love that guy.
Me too.
Love his energy. Yeah. Yeah. Love his energy.
Former Packer, Jamal Williams.
Now former Lion. Lions legend.
Current New Orleans Saint. So, we'll see what happens on that front. Today, for me, it's less of a rant, but more of a congratulations for an organization to fix something that I've long complained about in the world of sports. We talked about this to begin the show, Joe. It is opening day in Major League Baseball, and there was a time in my life where that was a very exciting day, and quite frankly, the last few years, just hadn't really cared. Like, okay, it's opening day, Major League Baseball. I just don't really care all that much anymore. And one of the reasons I think that baseball has become something that, quite frankly, I don't pay as much attention to as I used to is because it takes forever to watch these games take place. And, you know, we've seen the reports out there. I mean, there have been some four-hour games. You know, they've taken some steps in extra innings to try to prevent the, you know, 17 or 18 inning games that we used to see a few times throughout the years. And all those things have been great. But I've always said, with the world being what it is now and with the younger generation coming up, the attention span, quite frankly, just isn't what it used to be. And baseball was going to have to do something to address that problem. And I want to send a congratulations to Major League Baseball for at least taking some steps to maybe help us get there. And I know some people really don't like what baseball is doing, like the baseball purists aren't a huge fan of it, and I understand that, but I applaud the attempt by Major League Baseball to try to speed up the game a little bit, and they're doing that in a few different ways. We've seen it throughout spring training, and today is going to be the first day of real action where all these things are enforced. But the shift, you got to have two guys on one side of second base, two guys on the other side of second base, and they got to be in the infield dirt. So basically, eliminating the shift in Major League Baseball. There's the pitch clock that's coming into to play, where pitchers will have 15 seconds to throw a pitch with the bases empty and 20 seconds when there's a runner on base. Hitters have to be in the batter's box with by 8 seconds left on the pitch clock, so trying to speed up the game that way. The pickoffs, which that may be the one that used to drive me the most nuts, is like when somebody is a threat to steal the base, you would throw over like 28 times per batter to keep the guy close on the base pass. Now you have basically two disengagements per batter, that they're calling it, on the pickoff rules in Major League Baseball. They've increased the size of the bases, which I don't know what that's going to mean, but it's gone from 15 inches to 18 inches. So take that, whatever you will. So I like that Major League Baseball is at least recognizing that they've got to do something about pace of play. And we've talked about this. Like, Major League Baseball, the pace of play is not the only thing where that's been a problem. I mean, how many college football games have we watched where it's like, oh my gosh, this has been going on for 4 hours and 25 minutes. Somebody's got to do something about this. I don't know how all this is going to work. I don't know how big of an adjustment this is going to be. Like I said, I know that, like, some traditional baseball fans are mad that they're putting in the pitch clock and that they're, you know, limiting pickoffs and taking away the shift, like adding rules in that take away from what we've traditionally seen in baseball. And I get all that. They tried most of this last year in AAA, and it was interesting. Jeff Hem was on with Caroline Willie and D-Mace yesterday, and he was talking about the pitch clock, and he's like, I love it. Like, I was kind of skeptical about it at first, but the pace of play is affected dramatically because, I mean, the batter getting in there messing with his gloves and a minute in between pitches, that adds up over the course of a baseball game. So that's a long way of me saying I am very happy that Major League Baseball is deciding to address something that I think has been a problem for a long time. And I do wonder if this affects the pace of play pretty dramatically, how much that could help their viewership as they move forward here.
I like the clock stuff too. I think that's good, makes sense. Worth a shot. I hate stuff like banning the shift. I let people go stand, put four people in center field. I don't give a crap. I don't like that.
I have mixed feelings on that one, just because, like, I understand what they're trying to do. Like, the batting average league wide last year, and I have the numbers in front of me. The batting average league wide last year was .243. That was the lowest since 1968. So you're talking about, I mean, nobody's getting on base. It's like hitting home runs, right, or you're striking out.
Home run, strikeout.
So the batting average was atrocious last year. And look, it's like any other sport. Nobody wants to watch a 2-0 baseball game 162 times a year. So I get what they're trying to do that way. But I've always also said, like, if you don't like somebody putting the shift on you, learn how to hit the ball the opposite side of the field.
Exactly.
You know?
Spray the ball over the field, man. Right. Yeah. No, I mean, that's – so I think that's just like – and again, we talked about this earlier on the show. Like, talk about a sport where I think analytics is overtaking it too much. I think baseball is absolutely that. I just, stuff like that. And even honestly, I'm torn on the pickoff thing, because I just, like, there's times when you've got a huge situation and you've got a 100 base stealer and, you know, it's a one-run game and you cannot let him get to second, you know? And I think in those situations, that becomes a cat and mouse. That's a huge part of the game. And now you've taken that out. And I think it's a huge advantage for, you know, the runner in that situation. So, but I'm also with you. There are times when it's like, you don't need the seventh pickoff. You don't need the seventh throw over to first. You know,
I agree. But to that point, let's say you disengage twice. Well, now the runner knows that you can't do it again without a penalty being enforced, which I believe is a balk.
Right.
So if I'm that runner, as soon as you move, I am gone.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I am taken off.
Exactly. It's a huge advantage for the runner in a situation like that. So I don't really like that either. But that's a tough one because it really does. It can pile up. I mean, in games, you know, in close games with a team that's a really good running team, that can add up the time. But at the same time, it's part of baseball.
Yeah.
I struggle with that one.
Tyler on the text line says, the baseball purist can pound sand as somebody who has to be at 75 Sounds games 2 hours early each year. Get me home sooner, any way possible. Kyle on the text line says, leave baseball alone, in all capital letters. And Cody says, Nomar Garciaparra is sitting somewhere mad as heck. And Nomar couldn't play nowadays. They had that pitch clock and he couldn't step out of the box and rearrange his batting gloves in between every pitch. There's no way he could do it.
Love some Nomar.
He used to drive me nuts.
Love some Nomar Garciaparra.
I mean, I like him, but my goodness.
Yeah.
After every pitch, so yeah, let's just take the batting glove off and let's put it back on. Like, get in the box, man. What are you doing?
Yeah. I'm kind of more with Kyle, but except I like the clock because there's just too much lollygagging.
Need to speed it up.
Can't be lollygagging out there. No question about that. 615-737-1025. This has been the Rob Rant. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on all things NFL and the Tennessee Titans as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.